of how Bhishma Dev was born of the great king Santanu and the celestial goddess Ganga Devi. He was the eighth of the Vasus and the prominent amongst them. Upon his birth, Ganga Devi took him to the celestial world, where for 12 years he studied under the greatest authorities of the various Kshatriya arts. He studied military combat from Parasuram, the Vishnu avatar. He studied philosophy from the great priest of the demigods, Brihaspati. At the age of 12, this child, whose name was then Devavrata, was brought back to his father. He embodied such divine and devotional qualities in every respect that the entire kingdom very much was longing for the day when he would become king, and especially Maharaj Santanu. It was his heart's desire to see the most beloved and cherished object of his life, his only son, to sit on his throne. Maharaj Santanu very much wanted the beautiful, divine lady Satyavati to be his queen, and Bhishma, his beloved son, made all the proper arrangements for that. But in the process, Bhishma, as a selfless service to his father, had to accept the vow of lifelong celibacy, in which he had to renounce all rights to the kingdom. It was for this vow he was given the name Bhishma, which means very terrible. Anyways, Bhishma helped arrange for the appearance of Dhritarashtra, Pandu and Vidura. And he was the grandfather of the sons of Dhritarashtra and Pandu. And he treated them all with such love, with such care, with such concern. During the battle of Kurukshetra, it is sometimes questioned why Bhishma, who was a great Mahajan, a pure devotee of Lord Krishna, and the most wise and powerful person on earth perhaps, why he chose to take sides with Duryodhana and be willing to fight against the Lord of his life, Krishna, and those pure devotees, the Pandavas, who have surrendered their lives to him. From the external point of view, it is explained thus. You see, the Mahabharata is a scripture which although culminates in pure devotional service, it also deals elaborately with the subjects of artha, kama, dhamma, moksha. And it is a transcendental guidebook for people of all categories, according to the spiritual master who you choose. He will teach you either how the Mahabharata is teaching the proper senses of morality, to approach God for economic development, sense gratification, liberation, religiosity. And of course, if you have a spiritual master who's coming in a proper parampara of pure devotees, he will extract the essence of how the Mahabharata is teaching ultimately pure devotional service. So therefore, in the teachings of Mahabharata, we find various interpretations for the same stories. And in many ways, often they are all true from different points of view. So Bhishma, because Dhritarashtra and Duryodhana had taken the throne for so many years, he was subordinate to them. He was living in their kingdom, and he was being maintained by them. Therefore, it was his moral obligation to be faithful to those who have been maintaining him for so many years. It's like there is the saying, do not bite the hand that feeds you. If you accept favors from someone, then you are obliged to be faithful to those persons. And Duryodhana and Dhritarashtra were in fact supporting him and maintaining him for so many years. And now a great war was taking place, and they needed him more than ever, and they requested him to be in charge of the battle, so he accepted. But then again, Krishna says, sarva dharman puritya jamam ekam shananam braja aham tvam sarva papi dyo moksha ishami masa. That this is dharma. To be grateful to those who have, just like you must be grateful to your mother because she has nursed you, you must be grateful to your father because he has provided for you. And it is according to the dharma of the Vedic tradition, it is an offense to in any way disobey your mother or father, or not show them proper respect, or not do what they tell you to do. Sarva dharman puritya jamam ekam saranam. But if we are surrendering to Krishna, then we are no longer obliged to these other dharmas. Devarshi bhutapti nam pitranam nakinkari nayamanam nicharajan sarvatmar sara saranam garanja gatomukundam bharihityakaratam. That one is no longer obliged to one's mother, one's father, to the demigods, to the rishis, to the great kings, or to anyone if he surrenders to Mukunda, who is the giver of liberation. Because ultimately Mukunda is the one who provides everything for everyone. If you water the root of the tree, automatically every branch, leaf, or twig is satisfied. Now, Bhishma Dev was a soul that was completely surrendered to Krishna. So he was not at all obliged to live according to the obligations he had to Dhritarashtra and Duryodhana. So obviously, this is a very external reason. The internal reason is he was completely surrendered to the will of Lord Sri Krishna. It was the will of Krishna that Bhishma be on the side opposing him, just so that Krishna could show the whole world that however learned you may be, However powerful you may be, if you are not on the side of Krishna, you will be defeated and destroyed. And in order to make this message clear, he took the most powerful, undefeatable person in the whole world and put him against him. What is our position? What is any man's position? To hope to be successful if he has not surrendered to Krishna, if even Bhishma himself is destroyed. So Bhishma knew that Krishna wanted to teach this lesson to the world, and he knew that he would be very much misunderstood, that people for all time to come would blame him, would criticize him, blaspheme him, curse him for taking the wrong side. But he didn't mind. He was willing to accept any amount of abuse, any amount of misunderstanding. He was even willing to accept death itself, if that's what Krishna requested of him to carry out his mission. So it was for this reason that Bhishma became the commander-in-chief of Duryodhana's army. And Duryodhana, he felt confident that he would win the war only because he knew that no one could defeat Bhishma. Bhishma had received the vow from his father, Santanu Maharaj, that he could not be killed by anyone at any time unless he so desired to die. Even death itself was subordinate to the will of Bhishma. So how possibly could he be defeated? Anyways, the battle was raging very ferociously. But because Bhishma loved the Pandavas more than he loved his own life or anything of this world, because he knew how dear they were to Krishna, he did not have the heart to fight with any enthusiasm against them. And Duryodhana knew this. He could see it, that due to his affection for the Pandavas, he was weak. You know, in the battlefield, you cannot have affection. Affection makes a person weak. You have to be hard like steel. So Duryodhana began to chastise Bhishma. That what kind of a... I have put my whole life, my whole kingdom in your hands with faith and trust that you would fight, and you will not fight against these Pandavas. We see how you will battle everyone else, but when the Pandavas come before you, you show no enthusiasm to fight them. You become very soft, very loving toward them. This is not a Kshatriya. You are transgressing the principles of a Kshatriya's code. You cannot show affection to the enemy on the field. In so many ways, Duryodhana was actually expert at manipulating words in such a way to influence people's minds. His words were like sharp arrows piercing the mind and the heart of Bhishma. Duryodhana, that tomorrow I will kill the five Pandavas with these five arrows. Duryodhana was very happy to hear this. He said, let me keep these five arrows safely overnight. So Duryodhana took those arrows. Meanwhile, Krishna knows everything, past, present, and future. He is the Paramatma in everyone's heart. He told Arjuna that, you know, Bhishma gave five arrows to Duryodhana, and those arrows will kill all the five Pandavas tomorrow. We must get those arrows. So in those days during the battle, here on the field of Kurukshetra, it was the code of the Kshatriyas that they would fight viciously with their enemies during the day. But after the sunset, when the battle had to end, they actually treated each other with great respect. So that night, Krishna brought Arjuna to the tent of Duryodhana. And Duryodhana, being a man who, although very greedy when he came to the Pandavas and very envious, other than that, he was actually a very noble person. He was full of all good qualities. He only had one bad quality. He was envious of the Lord's devotees. So when Arjuna came, he understood that it is the etiquette that when a guest comes to your home, you must offer them whatever they desire. So he said to Arjuna, "You have come to my home. Now, anything you like, I will give you that I have in my home. How can I receive you nicely?" Arjuna said, "Give me those 5 arrows. And Duryodhana was a man of his word. Sometimes. But on this occasion, he understood that if he was to commit this offense, it would be very bad. So he had to give the 5 arrows to Arjuna. The next day, Bhishma asked, "Where are the 5 arrows? Duryodhana told him what happened. So Bhishma said, "Today, I vow that Krishna will have to break his vow." As we explained to Jyotisar, Krishna vowed that he would not lift a weapon and he would not fight in the battlefield. But also at Jyotisar, Krishna said, "Konteya pratijani hiname bhakta pranashiti." That Arjuna, you declare it boldly that I will always protect my devotee. My devotee never perishes. So Krishna will have to be in a predicament where he either breaks his vow or Arjuna has to break his vow. So during the battle, Bhishma approached Arjuna and challenged him to fight. And during the fight, Bhishma was too powerful. He just completely defeated Arjuna and took an arrow, and Arjuna was helplessly laying on the ground, and Bhishma was about to kill him. And Bhishma knew that Arjuna's finished unless Krishna protects him by fighting against me. And he knew that Krishna would do it. At that time, when Arjuna was helplessly looking at Bhishma, who came before him as death personified, Krishna, with great anger, he lifted up the wheel of a chariot. And he began to run toward Bhishma as if to destroy him. Here was the destroyer of all the 14 worlds coming at Bhishma with the wheel of a chariot in his hand. His eyes were copper red in anger. His hair was covered by the dust raised by the hooves of the horses. And Bhishma was shooting his arrows in the body of Krishna. Hariyo!
Hariyo!
Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that Bhishma had a relationship with Krishna of chivalrous love. When he was shooting arrows in the body of Krishna, and they were piercing Krishna's beautiful lotus-like body, it was actually his offerings of love. Just like sometimes we offer flowers to the deities, and we throw the flowers on the deities. When a devotee, out of love, throws a flower on the form of the deity, it gives great pleasure to Krishna. In the same way, Bhishma's arrows were felt by Krishna to be like flowers showering upon his body. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, who was also a devotee, always immersed in Madhurya Ras, he also gave the example that when a lover bites his beloved, it feels very nice. If anyone else bites you, it feels terrible. But if your lover bites you, it feels very nice. Although biting is actually a violent act, when it is offered with love, it feels very, very nice. So in the same way, Krishna was experiencing the terrible arrows of Bhishma as pleasing offerings. And Krishna continued to run toward Bhishma with such transcendental anger. And Bhishma knew that he was finished. There was nothing to stop the Supreme Personality of Godhead. At that time, Bhishma put down his bow and his arrows, and he surrendered at the lotus feet of Krishna. In this way, Krishna fulfilled all of his desires by accepting his life in such a transcendental Kshatriya manner. On the evening of the 10th day, it's the 11th day, isn't it?
10th day he lived, then 10th day afternoon.
So it's the 11th, doesn't it? We go run and check.
11th day he
lived.
So on the 10th night, Duryodhana again told Bhishma. No, I'm sorry. It was on the 9th night. He told Bhishma that you are not fighting very hard. If you really wanted to fight, you would annihilate this whole army within a day or two. So Bhishma said to Arjuna, all right, you see what I can do. I will annihilate the entire Pandava army, but I cannot annihilate the 5 Pandavas. That is impossible for me, because they are being personally protected by Krishna. I can kill every other soldier on this field, but I cannot kill the Pandavas. You see what I do tomorrow. And the next day, the 10th day, Bhishma started fighting so ferociously. He was like death personified. He was like a hurricane. You know, when a hurricane or a cyclone comes into a village, all you can do is just watch it do its destruction. There's nothing you can do. If you start shooting arrows or throwing bombs or throwing stones or shooting guns at a cyclone, what will it do? You might as well just stand and watch. Bhishma was like a cyclone. He was just going through the Pandavas armies, killing thousands and thousands of people at a time. And all the Pandavas could do was with their mouths open just stand and watch. By the end of that day, Bhishma had destroyed half the Pandava army. Millions of soldiers were killed. And that night, the Pandavas were just looking down in complete lamentation. The sun had set. And Krishna told them that tomorrow he's going to destroy the other half of your army and you will be totally defeated. Pandava said, yes, we know, but he's the most powerful person on earth. There's nothing anyone can do to stop him. So Krishna told the Pandavas that the only solution is you have to find out how to kill Bhishma. And Bhishma has already been given a vow that he cannot be killed. So you have to ask him, what is the secret in which he can be killed? Now, this is very painful for the Pandavas, because they love Bhishma. After Krishna, they loved him more than anyone else in the whole world. He was always the person most loving and kind to them. Bhishma and Vidura were the two best friends of the Pandavas. How to ask a loving friend and grandfather, my dear sir, how can we kill you? But it was the will of Krishna that they win this war, and the Pandavas were willing to do anything in the service of Lord Krishna. So they all went to Bhishma's tent that night, and Bhishma welcomed them with great love. When he saw his beloved grandchildren, the Pandavas, and his beloved Lord Krishna, coming with no weapons, in a mood of peace, tears began to flow from his beautiful lotus eyes. And they began to speak so many words of loving exchange. And then, with great, great difficulty, with voices choked with emotion and expression, the Pandavas asked Bhishma, please tell us how we can bring about your death. And when they asked this, Bhishma became illuminated with joy. He began to smile. His eyes began to sparkle in ecstasy. And Bhishma said, this is the happiest moment of my life that you have asked me this question. Because I have been longing for death to come for so many years. And then Bhishma began to narrate all the tragedies, all the miserable conditions and reversals that he had to endure during his life. From the very beginning. Last time we were at Bhishma Kund, I spoke for 3 hours. But this time I will make it summary. But every stage of his life, there were such tragedies and reversals. And the greatest tragedy was that he had to see the Pandavas, who were the rightful heirs of the kingdom, being persecuted and cheated and banished to the forest for so many long years. And then he had to see his own beloved grandchildren, cousin brothers, fighting and hating each other on the battlefield. Bhishma explained that I have been longing to die for so long, but I am only entitled to die as a Kshatriya on the battlefield. And he narrated the story of how long ago one of the princes, I believe his name was Vichitravirya, it was time for his marriage. And he did not have the capacity to win a proper bride like most Kshatriyas by going into the Swayamvara ceremony. So Bhishma himself, he didn't have the power either. And they wanted the most first-class princesses to be married to. So Bhishma himself went into the Swayamvara of 3 beautiful princesses, Amba, Ambala, and Ambika.
Ambalika.
Ambalika. Amba, Ambalika, and
Ambika.
And although great kings, great warriors, great princes from all over the planet were there in the tournament to show their strength, Bhishma just drove his chariot in, took all three of them on his chariot, and all the princes and all the kings started battling against him, and he just completely annihilated and defeated all of them and drove off with the three young ladies. But one of them, which one?
Amba.
Amba. She had already given her heart to another man, and she was about to put the garland on him when Bhishma took her away. And she said, "You want me to marry this person, but I have to tell you that I've already given my heart to someone else." So Bhishma said, "Oh, then you go back to him. You're not chaste to marry anyone except that man." She went back to that man, that prince. He said, "You've already been touched by Bhishma, so I cannot accept you." This was the nature of the Vedic culture. This conception of chastity amongst women was so highly esteemed that although this man fought in this tournament so hard to win this lady, as soon as he found that she was touched by another man, she was completely inappropriate to be married by any gentleman. Said, "The only person of any decency in the whole world that you have a right to marry now is Bhishma, because he touched you when he took you on the chariot." So she went back to Bhishma. She said, "You have to marry me." He said, "I've already taken a vow. I've taken a vow that I will never marry, and I will never be the king. And nothing can break this vow of mine." So she went to Satyavati, Bhishma's stepmother. And she told Satyavati her dilemma. Satyavati said, "It is not possible for you to marry anyone but Bhishma now. And for such a beautiful princess as you to be a widow for her whole life is such a terrible thought that Bhishma will have to marry you." And Bhishma has never, ever disobeyed the order of his mother. He must obey. So Satyavati went to Bhishma and she ordered him, "You must take this Amba as your wife." And Bhishma replied with so many words that the sun will burn out, the rivers will go dry, and all the stars will fall from the sky before I break my vow of celibacy. He was first class brahmachari. So Satyavati looked at this young lady and said, "I'm sorry, there's nothing I too can do to break his vow." So she knew that the guru of Bhishma was Parasaram, who was then living in the Himalayas, performing tapasya. So she went to the Himalayas and approached the ashram of Parasaram. And she was so beautiful, and she was so full of all good characteristics. She was such a shy, loving person. But her heart was inflicted by the most terrible thought that she would be a widow her whole life. Such a princess was born to be married by a great hero. So she poured her loving heart out to Parasaram. And Parasaram, being very much influenced by her feelings, he said, "You have nothing to fear. I am his guru. He must obey my command. And I will order him. He must take your hand in marriage." So Parasaram came toward Hastinapur. When he came to the outskirts of the city, it was announced, and Bhishma came out and offered, first he washed his guru's feet, he offered his prostrated obeisances, he offered arti, he offered fruits and vegetables and all types of foodstuffs, offered him a comfortable seat, began to offer beautiful prayers to his guru, and then he said, "Gurudev, please, I am a surrendered soul. I have never been unchaste in my service to you. How can I serve you?" And Parasaram replied, "You marry Amba." And Bhishma, with great humility and determination, he replied to his guru, "The sun will burn out. And the rivers will go, and the rivers and the oceans will go dry, and the stars will fall from the sky before I break this vow that I have taken." And Parasaram became so angry, "You dare to defy the order of your guru." And he challenged him to fight. So Bhishma accepted the challenge, and they began to fight. Bhishma and Parasaram. It was an unbelievable battle. They were fighting with such grace, with such expertise, and with such unlimited power against each other that even the demigods in the heavens were watching in great awe and reverence. The fight went on for many, many long days. But no one could in any way show any superiority over the other, because Parasaram endowed Bhishma with all of his potencies, the same potencies. So in the evenings the fight would end, and the next day from sunrise to sunset they would fight. So someone said to Bhishma that this fight's going to go on for the rest of eternity. No one can win. So one of you have to give up. And it's better if you give up, because it's not proper etiquette for the guru have to give up. So alas, Bhishma, although Parasaram knew that he was undefeatable, he told him, "As a matter of etiquette, I accept that you are victorious." At that time, Parasaram embraced Bhishma with loving tears flowing from his eyes, and he says, "I am so pleased that you have so well learned everything I taught you. And I give you all my blessings, that you will never be defeated." And then Parasaram turned toward this young princess and told her, "I have done everything I can, but there's nothing I can do to change his vows." And he went away. So Amba went into the forest and started living with great sages and saints. But because she was such a beautiful young lady, these great babajis and sannyasis did not think it was very conducive for them to be living amongst her. So she started to perform great tapasya to worship Lord Shiva. Such tapasya for so many long years that ultimately Lord Shiva appeared before her. He said, "Whatever benediction you desire, I will give you." She said, "The benediction I desire is this. That I have the power to be instrumental in killing Bhishma." Because Lord Shiva said, there's nothing, any power, even me, can do to get you to marry him. She said, then I want to kill him. He said, all right. But you cannot kill him in this body of a young, beautiful princess. So I will give you the body of a kshatriya. So she was born as Sikandi.
Sikandi.
Who was a great powerful warrior, but was not really either a male or a female. And Bhishma knew that Sikandi was actually Amba, who was born as a kshatriya to kill him. And so many times on the battlefield, Sikandi approached Bhishma to fight him. But every time Bhishma, he would see this warrior actually as a Mataji. And as a brahmachari, he wouldn't look at Mataji so much, so he wouldn't fight her. He would just turn away from her and go away and start fighting someone else. So in this way, there was no hope for Sikandi to fight. So Bhishma explained this story. And then he explains that there's something very secret that no one else knows. That Sikandi knows my heart and loves me so dearly. She knows that for so many long years I have desired and longed to die, to go back to my original position as one of the 8 Basus in the heavenly worlds and be freed from this burdensome, troublesome, painful existence I've had for so many years. There is no one who loves me so much as Sikandi. And it is out of her love that she wants to fulfill my desire, that she performed all those tapasyas just so that she could kill me. He said, tomorrow, on the battlefield, all of you Pandavas and all the greatest, most powerful warriors of your army surround me, and then put Sikandi in the front. And let Sikandi shoot the first arrow at me. But in the whole Pandava army, there's not a single person who can penetrate my body, which is hard like steel, except Arjuna. So it is Arjuna's arrows that have to pierce my body, and they should cover me from my neck to my feet. In this way, you could stop me from exterminating your entire race. So the Pandavas, upon hearing the secret, they bowed down to Bhishma Dev. They were all weeping tears of love for each other in their eyes. Bhishma embraced them, and he said with such a warm and feeling heart, thank you so much for fulfilling all of my desires. So the next day, Duryodhana, he was very confident that the remaining Pandava army would be destroyed by Bhishma. And Bhishma, the next day in the morning, he looked so ecstatic, as he knew he would die, that he knew he would be defeated. And Duryodhana thought his ecstasy was that he knew he was going to win the battle. And he blew his conch shell, and he blew it with such power, such strength, so loud that Duryodhana was in ecstasy to hear it, and the whole Pandava army, they didn't know the secret contract. They were all thinking, today we are all doomed. And they fought in the battlefield, and Bhishma again began just plowing through the Pandava army, just killing everything in sight. Elephants were just pulverized by his arrows. Chariots were just driven to the, just broken to pieces. The Pandava soldiers, their arms, their limbs were just broken to pieces, and they were just strewed on the ground, dead corpses everywhere. And in the midst of this massacre, The Pandavas, headed by Shikhandi, surrounded Bhishma. And Bhishma looked at all of them and began to smile. And Shikhandi challenged him to fight. And for the first time, Bhishma looked toward her. Or him. And Shikhandi shot the first arrow. And then Arjuna, with tears of love in his eyes, on Bhishma's order, began to shoot arrows. But Arjuna's arrows were not penetrating Bhishma's body. And Bhishma had to instruct Arjuna, shoot harder with all your might. Arjuna couldn't do it because of affection. So Bhishma again had to order him, shoot with all of your strength. And then Arjuna, whose eyes were filled with tears, began to shoot his most powerful arrows with all of his strength. And they were piercing through the body of Bhishma. Until he didn't shoot anything into his face out of respect, but from his neck to his toes, he covered the body of Bhishma with so many arrows that you couldn't put a single finger between any two arrows. And then Bhishma, very gracefully, covered with arrows, laid on the ground. But as he laid on the ground, because the arrows were going through him, his body was actually raised as the arrows were going into the ground. And as he lay down, everyone in the whole battlefield became silent. Both the Pandavas and the Kurus, they all loved and respected Bhishma more than anyone.